One, thank you for being here. This is our weekly gathering of Awakening Together. Every Sunday, we meet here in the Pal Talk Room, and we join together online with a worship service. We have music and fellowship and teaching, meditation and contemplation. And it's a time for just being together. And it just wouldn't be the same without you being here. So let's take a few minutes now and greet each other as we join together in our online sanctuary for our weekly assembly. And this is the time, if we were in a physical room, we would turn to the people next to us and give them a handshake or a big hug or a warm greeting. So in our virtual room, let's meet and greet each other, and we use the Pal Talk message board to type in our greetings, our salutations, or comments. I'll play some music while we greet each other. This is Resta Burnham. Burnham.
Dreams are not true. Peace comes all seeing. The heart of all being is holy and sinless, created by God. Joy is the feeling of forgiveness healing and tenderly freeing.
That was Resta Burnham playing from her album Forgotten Song, The Smile of Salvation. So at this time, we always give a brief explanation of the purpose of Awakening Together. Barbara Water is our administrator today, and she will post a link to our website where you can read more about our purpose and values. And for those that are listening in on the radio, since they don't have a screen to see the link that Barb is posting, just go to www.awakening-together.org and then look under About Us for Purpose and Values. So our purpose is awakening to our one true self. And we're an online universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. We're very happy to have you join us formally. If you're not yet a member, you can join us at the Join Us link on our website. And we have five basic core values, and this serves as our creed. You may read the full description of the five values on the website that Barb posted. But here's a quick summary of our core values. One, we trust a unique inner guidance leading us to awaken to our one true self. Two, we realize everyone is equal, with no authority over the spiritual intuition of others. Three, we accept one changeless, non-dual presence or being as our true self. Four, without idolizing any spiritual doctrine, we affirm one true self as the only truth. Five, we accept all forms as temporary appearances while we reflect on one changeless truth. As we get started, I have a couple of announcements for events coming up, a couple of retreats, and they're listed under retreats, under events on our website, and our admin can post the links on the board for more information and a place to enroll in these retreats. The first one is the Awakening Together Satsang Retreat. It's held in September the 12th through the 14th at the Old Mission in St. Barbara, California. And the purpose of the Satsang Retreat is to spend time with souls who have experienced the permanent shift called awakening. Our Satsang Retreat leaders are Timothy Conway and Magdi MB, and the music is by Kirtana. The second retreat is immediately following the first one. It's called Soak in the Beauty Retreat, and it's September 14th through 18th. And that retreat is kind of a silent retreat. Well, there's silence each morning, but then in the afternoon, you can walk among the beauty of Santa Barbara. And then in the evening, there will be a discussion with Regina Don Akers and Timothy Conway. And this retreat is provided as an opportunity to deeply integrate peace and clarity and wisdom. And it's a four-night retreat that will leave you with a feeling of peace in your heart. It's also at the Old Mission in Santa Barbara, California. Well, now it's time for our opening song. It's the time to just relax and be here, rest the mind, and be here now.
God is with me. I live and move in Him. Life.
God is with me. Well, now let us join our hearts and minds for our invocation. You know, meditation is a way to quiet the mind. By quieting the mind, you clear the channel for intuition to be noticed. By quieting the mind, you open the way for communication with the Holy Spirit. By quieting the mind, you clear the way for that still small voice of your true self to be heard. I will play some meditation music and lead us in a guided meditation. While the music plays, let us quiet our minds as we close our eyes and focus attention on our breath. We use the breath to calm and to relax ourselves, breathing in peace and exhaling anxiety, breathing in love and exhaling fear, breathing in spirit and exhaling ego. And as we inhale and exhale, through the breath we find stillness, we find calm, we find in this space a spiritual presence in which we all share. This presence permeates us. We feel tension that we hold in our bodies melt away, and we feel our bodies relax. We feel the frustration and anxiety of the mind dissolve, and we are filled with peace. We give ourselves over to this peace, to this light, to this love. We allow it to be our only reality. And in this reality, we connect with our source. We empty our minds. We lay down our defenses. We open our hearts. We allow the presence of Spirit to guide us, to direct us, to fill us with love. We are grateful for the realization of the presence of Spirit within us. We come together as one in this presence to experience the love bestowed on us by Holy Spirit. We are refreshed and joyous in the warm glow of this love, in the presence of Spirit, and so it is. Amen. Well, this is the time in our worship service for an inspirational reading by a member. Our reader today is Judy Frisk. Judy will be reading from Brent Haskell's book, The Other Voice. And the selection of the reading is The Real World. Here's Judy.
The Real World. Greetings again. I'm Jesua. What we have been discussing of late is guilt. And if you would escape from guilt, what you must do is open to the awareness of the real world. For in the real world, there is no guilt. In the real world, there is no past. For as I have told you, it is guilt which defines your past. without the sense of guilt, without your need to believe that something or someone else is the cause of your being what you are, without that, there would be no guilt at all. In simplest statement, that is what the real world is, a place in which you have been released by yourself to never to look out there in order to determine what and who you are. The real world is a place where you only look within. And I have told you that the real world is not at all like the world you see. There is no sun and moon, no day and night, no darkness at all. There are no homes and structures and stores. There are no things which you need. Above all, in the real world, there are no bodies. I have also said to you something which may seem confusing, or at best difficult for you to understand. For I have told you that the world you see must be denied, because the very sight of it, the very sight of it, is what costs you a different kind of vision. I told you there are but two worlds, the world you see and the real world. You cannot see both. What determines the world you see is that which you have not denied. Above all, that which you cherish, that which you hold dear unto yourself. Those words are most important, that which you hold dear unto yourself. The world you see must be denied. That is absolutely true if you would experience the real world and the peace and love that it brings. You must deny the world you see, its bodies and houses and stores and things. You must deny all of them. What does that mean? Does that mean you need spend your days and nights here in space and time saying that house is not there? The sun is not in the sky. I do not feel its warmth. That person I seem to see is not there. Does it mean for you to deny this world and its seeming laws and processes? Does it mean you should not eat, drink, or breathe your air? Is that what it means to deny the world you see? Do you realize that when I walked this earth 2,000 years ago, I did walk the earth. I wore a cloak, sometimes to keep me warm. I breathed the air just as you do. I ate as you do. I drank as you do. But I tell you truly, I did deny the world throughout my entire life, just as I am now suggesting that you do for yourself. How can that be? What does it truly mean to deny the world? What does seeing the world mean as well, especially if seeing this world costs you vision? All the while, vision is one of your goals here. The key to the answer lies in the words, what you cherish, what you hold dear. And the key also lies in the one question which the ego always, always asks. Everything you do as ego, as a separate, isolated being, takes the form of the answer to one question. And that is this, what am I or who am I? And that, as I have told you before, is what the ego is. And the collection of answers you have to the questions, who am I, what am I? And those answers form your beliefs about what you are. What is the only reason that you, ego, would cherish anything of this world of illusion? You may explore the answer, if you will, as often and much as you like, but what I tell you is true. Everything you cherish and hold dear in this world is due to the fact that what you cherish provides you with an answer to the question, who am I? In essence, that which you cherish, which you hold dear, defines who you are. But beyond that, literally within this world, those answers are that which seems to give you life itself. As you look out at your world and discover answers out there about who you are, those answers become the source of your life. They become who you are. But that process, as I have already told you, is what gives rise to guilt in the first place. So what does it mean to deny the world? Does it mean not to see your houses and your cars, your bodies and stores, the sun and the stars? Does it mean to somehow be blind and not to see them with your eyes? The answer is no indeed. That is not what I mean when I say you must deny the world. To deny the world is simply to realize that is not what you are. To deny the world is simply to realize at the level of your experience, at the core of your being, beyond question, beyond doubt, beyond thought itself, that what you are in reality is not determined by the world you see.
Well, thank you, Judy. That was a reading from the Brent Haskell's book, The Other Voice, called The Real World. So my talk today is The Cosmic Joke. The Cosmic Joke. Life is like a game of tag, and you're it. The Cosmic Joke is that there's nobody out there to tag. There is no other, there's only you. So, you're always it. The cosmic joke is that nobody exists but you. And this is a hallucination, and nobody is supposed to tell you that. But I just did. No matter, you're programmed not to believe me anyway, so it doesn't matter. So life is a game. In order to have a game, something has to be more important than something else. If what already is more important than what isn't, the game is over. So, life is a game in which what isn't is more important than what is. All reality is a creation. I'm talking about the reality of our houses and cars and bodies. All reality is a created illusion. Only pure spiritual essence is real. You are that spiritual essence, and only you are real. You are the creator of all reality, all illusion. Reality, creation, physicality, dimension, time. This is your playground. You are the creator of all reality because you are God, Goddess, all that is, expressing itself as a single point of consciousness. This consciousness is your own self. It is within you as you and never away or out of you. When you say I, this is it. I is not the ego, but everything. This will be the difference. Otherness is ego and trouble. The real I is everything. Consciousness is your own self. You are creation creating. Your illusion was that you were a creation no different than any other creation, but that you were an illusion, a creation of God, but not the creator of God. Werner Erhard, the creator of Est, said, "You're God in your universe. You caused it. You pretended not to cause it so you could play in it. And you can remember you caused it anytime you want to. As an illusion, you thought you had to earn your way into reality. You had to deserve to be real. You were always real. You were the only thing in your entire reality that was real. You are and always were God. You were never separate from God. In one sense, you are the ultimate creation of God, of God's own stuff, designed to be an actual expression of this isness. a creation that creates, for only God can create. So all the cosmic rebellions were trying to accomplish something that already exists. Separate gods creating separate realities. But of course, there is no real separation, so those separate realities all coincide with one another, and all are co-created. Everyone's separate realities are all part of the oneness of all that is. Everyone's separate creation is all part of the entire creation of all that is. How can you not be part of all that is? How could you not be a creator? Why would God limit this, its creation in any way? Your limitation is self-imposed. You are not limited by the hand of God or any other force. You have not been cast out of heaven. You are eternal and unlimited as God is and creation is. Unlimitedness and infiniteness is your birthright. How could it be otherwise? Your awakening is in your own hands. Do you accept responsibility for your own awakening? Or do you give that power away to someone else to do it for you? No one else can do it for you. This is the nature of the gift of free will. If this is your pattern, you will never awaken. You will always be searching for that one thing or that one master that will help you get it. What you search for, you already have. And this is the cosmic joke. When you realize who you are and realize your birthright, you will laugh the biggest laugh in your life. And you'll realize you are putting yourself on. In the film One, the movie, Father Thomas Keating of the Christian Contemplative Movement summarizes the journey this way. He said, "The getting of the spiritual journey is the realization, not just the information, but a real internal connection that the higher power, or God, or to make it as easy as possible for everybody, that there is an other, capital O. Second step, to try to become the other, still capital O. And finally, the realization that there is no other. You and the other are one, always have been, always will be. You just think you aren't." Everyone that has ever awakened, especially the ascended masters, has gotten this joke. Getting the cosmic joke and learning to laugh at life is the key to your enlightenment. It is the key to your awakening, the key to the full realization of your divinity. Everyone in higher realities, especially those that have descended into these dense realms, have experienced physicality, and they're laughing with you, not at you. It's time to stop being so gullible and just get the joke. Start laughing at life and the joke that it is, especially the joke called civilization as we currently know it. This is the real joke. The joke of this reality is that it appears to be a tragedy, but it is a divine comedy. The funniest comedy is always tragic. Other people's folly is always funny. It is the only tragic when it is your own and you don't get the joke, when you are the brunt of the cosmic tragedy. We always want to ask the question, who am I? Why am I here? Why? In her book, A Thousand Names for Joy, Byron Katie said, "No one has ever known the answer to why. The only true answer is because." There is no ultimate answer to anything. There's nothing to know, and there's no one who wants to know. It's painful to pretend that you're more evolved than you are, to be in the position of a teacher, or when it's kinder to be in the position of a student. The truth is no respecter of spirituality. It only respects itself, just as it appears now. And it's not serious. It's just God laughing at the cosmic joke. And that's what Byron Katie quoted. Without a true identity as a child of the procreator, God, truth, consciousness, love, we are lost. Without knowledge of our true roots, our life is filled with violence of all sorts, many times reflecting as pain, illness, poverty, and weakness of spirit. We reel, tossing in the waters of life, empty and void of purpose and meaning. Suzanne Deakins goes on to say, "We get jobs, educate ourselves, we have a family, and all this reaching out of love and trying to fill the existential void of being. Reaching for the ontological moment when we encounter ourself face to face in the cold light of the first dawn of awareness. Embracing for that one moment in all time that we are consciousness, and we alone must make the choice of our reality. We alone must surrender our stages, our stories, our costumes, and pretenses to the Father within. We alone must surrender to the divinity that has always been ours, our true identity as a child of God, truth, consciousness, knowing all life is created out of love." That's from Suzanne Deakins. Love's wings. You know, after a forest fire in Yellowstone National Park, forest rangers began to trek their way up the mountain to assess the inferno's damage. One ranger found a bird, literally petrified in ashes, perched statuesquely on the ground at the base of a tree. Somewhat sickened at the eerie sight, he knocked the bird over with a stick. When he gently struck it, three tiny chicks scurried from under their dead mother's wings. The loving mother, keenly aware of impending disaster, had carried her offspring to the base of the tree and had gathered them under her wings, instinctively knowing that the toxic smoke would rise. She could have flown to safety, but had refused to abandon her babies. Then the blaze had arrived and the heat had scorched her small body. The mother had remained steadfast because she had been willing to die, so those under the cover of her wings could live. In Psalm 91:4, it says, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge." Osho said, "If a person can laugh totally, wholeheartedly, not holding anything back at all, in that very moment something tremendous can happen because of laughter. When it is total, it is absolutely egoless, and that is the only condition in which to know God, to be egoless." In his book, Seeing, Knowing, Being, John Greer said, "We are not seekers, though we use the term constantly. No matter what we think we are, about when we set out on our spiritual exploration, we are not going anywhere, nor is there anything we need to find. The pursuit of spiritual truth has nothing to do with fixing ourselves. It's a matter of discovering what is and what has always been. It's simply awakening to what we already are. To awaken is to remember that we have what we have known all along. And that's from John Greer. There's a funny quote from Emily Dickinson. They say that God is everywhere, and yet we always think of him as being somewhat of a recluse. In her book, Return to Love, Marianne Williamson said, "When we were born, we were programmed perfectly. We had a natural tendency to focus on love. We were connected to a world much richer than the one we connect to now, a world full of enhancement, enchantment, and a sense of the miraculous. So what happened? Why is it when we reached a certain age, we looked around and the enchantment was gone? Because we were taught to focus elsewhere. We were taught to think unnaturally. We were taught a very bad philosophy, a way of looking at the world that contradicts who we are. We were taught to think thoughts like competition, struggle, sickness, finite resources, limitation, guilt, death, scarcity, and loss. We began to think these things, and so we began to know them. We began to act them out. We were taught that things like grades, being good enough, money, doing things the right way, are more important than love. We were taught that we're separate from other people, that we have to compete to get ahead, that we're not quite good enough the way we are. We were taught to see the world the way others had come to see it. Love is what we were born with. Fear is what we have learned here. The spiritual journey is the relinquishment or unlearning of fear and the acceptance of love back into our hearts. We came here to co-create with God by extending. Life spent with any other purpose in mind is meaningless, contrary to our nature, and ultimately painful. It's as though we've been lost in a dark parallel universe where things are loved more than people. We overvalue what we perceive with our physical senses and undervalue what we know to be true in our hearts. Love is within us. It cannot be destroyed. It can only be hidden. The world we knew as children is still buried in our minds." And that's from Marianne Williamson. The source of healing power and joy is unconditional love, forgiveness, and kindness. You will find long-forgotten love and kindness and forgiveness coming back to you. Fear and struggle and anger and hatred and depression and worry and anxiety will drop away. Life is for happiness. You gain happiness by giving your love and forgiveness to others. To bring joy and peace and love into your life, consider doing the following. Love people. Love people. When you love people, you will feel joy to live in the world, no matter if life seems up or down. As you hold universal love in your heart and share it unconditionally with others, you experience love returning to you. Giving. Giving and receiving. Giving and receiving are one and the same. Do more good deeds for others and society. When you do good things for others, your heart fills with joy and you purify your energy. What you give will come back to you in full measure, shaken down and running over. In the Bible, in Luke 6:38, we read, "Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return." That's Luke 6:38. Forgive. Forgive others. When you forgive others, you allow them a chance to purify their energy. You will not lose anything, but you will gain more love and respect from others. Love begets love. Forgiveness begets peace. And hatred begets hatred. Learn to forgive and move on to enjoy a happy life. And then be flexible. Be flexible. Don't be stubborn. We're living in a changing world. Opportunities come and go every day. Concepts change from day to day. Life has no fixed patterns. So if you want to eat a potato for dinner today, but you do not have one on hand, find something else. Why go hungry and be irritated at dinner? When you're flexible, you'll find it easier and more enjoyable to deal with the things around you. Whatever will be, will be. Unconditional love is the most powerful energy in the universe. It exists in your heart, even if you do not feel loved. However, love cannot be found if your heart is not at peace. When your heart and mind and body are all going in different directions, you're not nearly as grounded and powerful. Here are four things that you can do to unite your heart and your mind and body. One, breathe. Breathe. Slow down your breathing to 10 times a minute or less. Doing so gives your body more oxygen so you can handle the challenges in your life. This also enhances the quality of your mind and activates the wisdom in your heart. The moment your heart feels peaceful, you will find love in your heart. Two, smile. Smile. Put a smile on your face. Smile, smile, smile. When you smile, you activate endorphins your body, helping you to balance your energy and work with any pain. The acronym SMILE, S-M-I-L-E, stands for Start My Internal Love Engine. A smile is a healing and comforting symbol of love. When you put a smile on your face, the love energy in your heart, that healing energy, automatically activates. Three, connect to the infinite source. After you activate your energy in your heart, make a connection between it and the universe. Your infinite source, your God. Say the mantra, "I am in the universe. The universe is in my body. The universe and I combine together. I am in the universe. The universe is in my body. The universe and I combine together." Once you make that connection, allow your heart energy to resonate together with the energy of the universe. Four, become a love radiator. Once you have this energy, don't keep it. Send love out to your family and friends, the community, and the world. The more energy you have, the more you have to give. The more energy you give, the more you receive back from the universe. As your heart opens more and more to the universe, you become a love radiator, helping yourself and others to heal and achieve a joyful, peaceful, and balanced life. And in conclusion, I have a quote from Don Jose Ruiz. In his book, Ripples of Wisdom, he said, "When we begin to dream that we are not God, that is when the nightmare begins. We fall from heaven and land in hell. We begin to search for God, and we begin to search for ourselves. The knowledge we have attained and the beliefs from other human beings of what they think we are, that knowledge takes over. These benefits distort the truth of what we really are, a reflection of God, the truth that I am." So this is the time in our worship service that we are open for meditation and contemplation. And this is also the time to remind you that Awakening Together is supported by your donations. We hope you value the assembly and choose to support it with financial contribution. Donating is always a choice, and it's not required. But if your heart guides you to, make a donation. Make a donation now, or commit to a monthly subscription donation, and click on the link Barb D has posted. Will post on the message board on how to donate. She posted it. So go to the website and click on donate. And we thank you. So I'll play some music now. If I can. Okay, this is from the Garden of Eden. This is Dawn in the Garden of Eden. Dawn, from the album Dawn in the Garden of Eden. Now we have about 15 minutes for sharing. This is a time for you. You get to speak and you get to share whatever's on your mind. I invite you to share your thoughts based on today's teaching. Just raise your hand and I will pass the mic over to you. Okay, Seattle Nancy, the mic is yours.
Thank you so much, Phil. Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. I really loved your talk today, Phil. Good morning, Robbie. Hi, Barb, and everyone. So let me just take a couple minutes, and I had an experience with this past week. And I was with my daughter. One of my daughters is getting ready to have a baby in the next 10 days or so. And she's not a student of any spiritual program, so to speak, as we might call it. And early on in her pregnancy, she had, they do all kinds of testing nowadays, testing that they didn't do when I was having children. But they do all this testing now, and some news came up that her baby may have some genetic abnormalities, quote unquote. She found this out around last Thanksgiving, which was a very difficult 4 days for her. A lot of tears, a lot of upset, a lot of uncertainty and fear. And she couldn't proceed with any testing because it was the holidays. Over the next few months, she and her husband went through a lot of different tests. Tests for Down syndrome, Potter syndrome, many different types of syndromes that are manifest or part of this world. No abnormality has shown up. The only thing they ever found out was that the baby was a girl, or is a girl. The doctors also cautioned them, that sometimes, all is not known until the baby's born, until that baby's born and can be evaluated. So all through this pregnancy, and, some people choose to terminate pregnancy. Kate did not. And indeed, there was no evidence for her to support that, as we call it in the world. So Kate and I had dinner last week, and I've been pretty amazed at how upbeat she's been all through her pregnancy. But she shared with me that she, there's a little part in the back of her mind that is, that she recognizes as fear, and that there will be something wrong with the baby, and that it puts a damper on her excitement and her ability to be happy, is what she says. And so as she told me this during dinner, I did get quiet within to ask Holy Spirit, to ask my inner wisdom, what could I tell? What could I say? What could I say to this one? I felt the urge, you know, to say, oh, you know, don't worry, honey. Everything will be all right. And I don't, and with Kate and where she is right now, I don't know that she, if her baby was born with some genetic deficiency, that she would see that as being all right, just where she is. And so in the quiet, what arose for me is what you talked about, Phil, today, is an encouragement to her and to tell her that to appreciate the heck out of everything right now, to do what made her heart sing, what made her heart feel light, to love her husband who really adores her and does many loving gestures for her every day, and just to open her eyes even wider to those, and for herself to extend those as well to others that she meets, to appreciate everything, inanimate, and plant, vegetable, mineral, people, to live in appreciation and gratitude and love in these next 10 days, 2 weeks. I said, love makes all things right. Love makes all things grow healthy and strong, including yourself. It is our only option to dwell in love and not to dwell in worry. And I know that this can be challenging, but the simple things in life, as we, our hearts are full, and that is something I can count on. A strong and healthy and loving mind, that is what we want. All right, thank you so much. I so appreciated your confirmation of that in this morning's talk. Thank you, Phil. Letting go of the mind.
Well, thank you, Nancy. And thank you for that beautiful sharing. And we all wish the very best. We wish that everything will turn out as perfect as the Holy Spirit always allows it to be. So is there anyone else that would like to take the mic now and share what's ever on your mind or heart? Just raise your hand and I'll pass the mic over to you. So I'm holding the mic open for you. You are welcome to raise your hand and take the mic and share whatever's on your mind. We have about 5 minutes still that is your time. So I'll just wait and allow you the opportunity to raise your hand and take the mic. So we're just waiting for one more person to raise their hand and take the mic and share whatever may be on your heart this morning. Okay, Robbie Stearman, the mic is yours.
Aloha. Thank you, Phil. A wonderful service and everyone in the room. I just wanted to express a simple, sincere sense of, hi, Barb, of gratitude. And aloha, Nancy, for all of you in the room and the truth and just being here, awakening together. And the fact that there is a room, even though we're in the room but not of it, or in the world but not of it, we are one together right now. And I'm just amazed, and it's maybe sounds simple because the words are, what I'm saying is not the words, it's just pointers to the fact that we are all one here in this room right now. Hi, Lynn. And that's all I say. I just wanted to have a sense of gratitude right now because that opens our hearts together today in this service. Aloha and mahalo.
Aloha to you, Robbie, and thank you. I love the greeting aloha. It means hello, goodbye, I love you, lots of different things. I spent some time in Hawaii. I had a house on Maui for a few years, and I kind of divided my time between windsurfing in Maui and skiing in Colorado for a few years. But I love the aloha feeling of the Hawaiian Islands. So was there anybody else that would like to take the mic? Okay, Dove, the mic is yours.
Okay, give me a minute to change my settings here. That was a wonderful sharing homily on the cosmic joke. And I think, Phil, you still have that website, thecosmicjoke.com, which I put up the thing there. And I think it's when you really look at what Jesus says in A Course of Miracles or any of what the mystics are saying, it really is a cosmic joke. That's why you really gotta laugh. There's nothing here that belies anything other than we have substituted one thing for another, is exactly what you said. That's the goal or the object of a game, is making one thing more important than another. And that's actually the definition for sacrifice. And if you listen to what Jesus is saying in A Course in Miracles, sacrifice remains the one idea behind all of the world's pains, sufferings, ills, lack, poverty, starvation, grief, and even death. He says that in Lesson 187, paragraph 6. And then he finishes that paragraph with, and in your gentle laughter, it is healed. Because all these things are happening in our mind, making one thing more important than another. Sacrificing the truth, thinking that what we give meaning to means something when it's really meaningless. Love that line in the Course where Jesus says, it's in Review Lesson 52, paragraph 5. He says, wouldn't you rather join the universal mind, the universal thinking, than hang out in your meaningless, pathetic and your pathetic, meaningless private thoughts. And so we have made our private thoughts more important than the love of God. The love of God needs no words, no thoughts. It just is. Today's lesson 152, even though I've never really gotten into the lesson, somehow just last night I happened to look at it and contemplated what it was saying. The power of decision is my own. And I realized if you took one lesson and really contemplated, it's the only lesson you would really need to get the entire course. Of course, that's been said many times. Jesus says it for the 20 most powerful lessons as he sees it in the course, 181 or 200. But you can do that with any one lesson. If you totally grok, totally get into what that one lesson is saying. And this is the lesson that speaks about that only the truth is true and nothing else is true. Now, he uses that in the text a number of times and says, you know, that's how simple this course is. But this is the only time I know that he speaks about it in the workbook, in the lessons, and that's today's lesson. And only we can decide what is true for us. But he makes it so simple. He says, but only the truth is true and nothing else is true. So everything else that we believe to be true are those pathetic, meaningless private thoughts. Nothing else. But none of it's true. That's why it really is the cosmic joke. The cosmic joke is to realize is that only the truth, only the love of God, only the truth that we all co-created in the mind of God together is true, and nothing else is true. If you just keep that in mind, you've got to laugh at just about anything and everything that seems to come along in our circumstances, the things that seem to annoy us, bother us, disturb us. It always seems, yes. But when you rise above it, you can really laugh at it all, literally. Thank you so much, Phil, for a wonderful topic. Thank you all for being here. Turning this mic back to you, Phil Frisk.
Well, thank you, Dove. Thank you for your comments. Your wisdom is always appreciated here. So, I have a closing song here. This is one of my favorites. I'm digging through some of my old albums and coming up with music that, you know, 40 years ago I enjoyed. I'd also like to thank all of you for your attendance today, and thanks to our reading assistant, Judy Frisk, and to our administrator, Barb DeWater. And after this closing song, please stay tuned, if you can, and join us for an hour of fellowship right here in this room. This is Space Traveler. space traveler. So I'm turning this mic over to Lynn Johnson for our continuation of the morning. And stay tuned and enjoy this hour of fellowship.
Wow, thank you so much, Phil Frisk. And what a beautiful morning, everyone. Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, Daniel. Welcome. And Sharon Casey just came in the room. So good to see you guys. Hi, hi, hi. Just a couple of announcements.